Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hours time. That'd be our lounge chair, black. Yeah. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Margaret Marshall, and welcome to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. We welcome all our listeners tonight online and our callers in. Today is Wednesday, the 19th of August. My, how the time flies. Guess what, folks? It's almost Christmas. Once July passes, then we're almost there. I want to welcome everyone this evening. I'm very excited about our topic tonight because I'd like to tell you how it all came about. For some of our fans that have listened quite a while, you know that this is a senior's senior, and I have three beautiful grandsons. The eldest is going to be 7. In October, the youngest is going to be 4 in October, and I have one in the middle who's going to be 5 in December. The 5-year-old one happened to be with me, and of course, if there are any grandmothers listening, you know that all the latest games now are on the Wii, and it seems like the kids have to get to the next level, and it's always challenging. Well, this particular grandson was having a lot of difficulty when he couldn't get from one level to the next, and he would get so frustrated. And one day, as I listened to him in the background, all of a sudden, a little verse just popped into my mind, and I went into him and said, "If at first you don't succeed, try again." And he looked at me sort of strange. And I said it again. And then I left the room. And then I said to myself, "Well, no, oh my gosh, my memory is not all that bad. I remember that from, I learned that when I was a kid." And I was so excited that I decided to make it the topic of this week's Labrish. So tonight we're going to talk about our memory gems. And for my Jamaican fans, I'm sure you know what that is. But as I mentioned a lot of times, I'm always so intrigued with this Jamaican Heritage Encyclopedia by Miss Olive Senior. That author did such a great job. But she describes it as a short precept taught in infant or elementary school. Memory gems, of course, played a major role in the upbringing of most Jamaicans who went to school in the British days. And if there are listeners online, they'll know what I'm talking about. And they were usually, they're quite different from proverbs, which we're going to do in another show, which is more local sayings, but the memory gems were little nuggets of wisdom that you were more or less forced to memorize during those periods. And I have gone online and saw where a lot of Jamaicans that are blogging or their authors or doing something special with their lives, many of them refer to that period when they were learning memory gems and how it reinforced certain parts of their, or helped to build certain parts of their character. So I want to make a special effort tonight to reach out to the younger folks and remind them that anything that you say over and over, or you read over and over, is going to make an indelible imprint in your consciousness. And even without realizing it, you will be doing or saying or thinking the things that you, especially for young people. So all I can do is encourage the grandmothers out there, if they know any nuggets of wisdom, whether you're Jamaican or not, share them with your grandchildren, because you never know if it's going to get riveted and it will be meaningful long after we're gone. So with that, I wanted to tell you the story of what developed with my grandson. Every time I heard him getting frustrated about the game, I would go in and say it. And then he started to say it with me. And if he forgot a part, I would remind him. It's very short. And he knew it. So my other two grandsons, who, they live someplace else, came over for a sleepover. And the older one was playing the game, and he was getting quite frustrated too. They all seem to do that when they can't get to the next level. And here is this middle one saying to the big one, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Well, I was just beaming with pride, because not only did he remember it, but he knew how to implement it at the right time. Well, there's another part to this story, because just yesterday I visited with the two that don't live with me, and the person who takes care of them was saying to me, you know, Griffin, who is the youngest of the three, was saying to his older brother, if at first you don't succeed, try again. No, he's not yet four. And she said to him, where did you hear that? And he said, my Nana taught it to me. Well, you should see the smile on my face. So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we're going to do some more of our memory gems for you. And I see that we have a caller from 716-210. So if you'd like to interact with me and our callers online, let me give you the call-in number. I'm not able to interact with you on the computer at the same time. I'm not that picky yet. I'm working on it. So you can call us at 718-766-4558. So the call is online if you'd like to share your views on the program, or tell us one of your memory gems, or perhaps what it meant to you. Please hit 1 on your keyboard so I can plug you in and you can leave your footprint. But I wanted to go on now and tell you some that I discovered. To be very frank, at the time, I only remembered that one. But as I started to think more and more about it, they started to come to me. And I want, for our listeners that might not be born and raised in Jamaica, it might be a little foreign to you, but in the old days, when we were in school, you know, we started sort of young in Jamaica with really some serious passages and information, unlike here in the United States, where the younger children are more into art and play. We were into things like repeating the alphabet and learning little verses and saying your numbers quite early. And I remember they used to have some of these little sayings written up at all over the classroom. There were some that you learned in Sunday school, and some that you actually learned in school. And as you grew up, you know, and at home too, you know, it became part of what you would say, just like we do the proverbs. most times, and I we are going to have fun with the Proverbs when we do that, because they're a lot of them, and of course they're done in the Jamaican patois that all Jamaicans understand. All Jamaicans in the old days did not converse all the time in patois, but they certainly know how to speak it and how to understand it. Now, reading it is a different thing because, you know, it's spoken different ways in different parts of the country and also, I suppose, spelt different ways. Because right now, I can confess that I have problems deciphering it sometimes when I see it online. But without further ado, I'd like to share with some of the listeners, or with all the listeners, some of the ones that we learned when we were young. And, for instance, what I mentioned before, we would say that is for persistence, for learning, keep trying until you succeed. We would learn, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Now, one thing that I really remember is that if we were not being persistent or not sort of doing a job well, this comes into my mind all the time. What is worthwhile doing is worthwhile doing well. That I don't know if any of our online listeners remember that one on the callers in. So do raise your hands if you want to pipe in here. Because I don't remember a lot, but I did get some from a couple of people. I sent out an email, and they sent me some that they remembered. You know, it's a long time since we were in kindergarten or in, you know, elementary school, a lot of years. So bear with me here. So another good one is, and I learned this one from a person I just met, and they were able to help me out with contributing this one. I'm hoping that she'll be online too. But this one is great for education. We learned, learn all you can before you grow old, for learning is better than silver or gold. Silver and gold will vanish away, but a good education will never decay. Isn't that a great one? I just love that one because it really reinforces the value of a good education, because, you know, that's one thing that no one can take away from you. And I'm hoping that, you know, whenever any young folks come on online, they will listen to some. Excuse me, let me just close. I'm online. I'm on the radio. Sorry about that. People are trying to get me. Anyway, as I mentioned, you know, that they will, you know, that will be meaningful to them. So that was one we had to reinforce the importance of a good education. And it's so surreal to me because some of the blogs I was reading mentioned how, you know, this quest for knowledge was embedded from an early age. And I see that one of our listeners from 716-210, I'm going to open up the mic and see who we have there that want to join the Labridge this evening. Hello, this is Margaret on Backyard Labridge. Who do I have?
Hi, Margaret. This is Janine.
Hi, how Janine. Welcome, my loyal fan. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
And what city are you calling
usual.
Me from today?
Huh?
What city are you calling from today?
I'm still in Buffalo.
Oh, you're still in Buffalo. Not home yet.
No, I'll be here until the beginning of September.
Oh, great. Fantastic. So yes. Do you remember any of our memory gems?
Oh, yes. I remember one that was so important, and I taught it to my granddaughter, and she actually went to school and recited it, and the teacher was so impressed with it, and she asked her, you know, who taught it to her, and she said it was her grandmother. And when she came home and told me, I felt so good.
Ah, so you know how I felt yesterday.
Yes, yes.
It was unbelievable. So, would you like to share that one with us?
Sure. The world is like a mirror reflecting what you do. And if you face it smiling, it smiles right back at you.
Oh, that is a wonderful one. I never got that one. I've been trying to elicit. But that one is great.
Oh, we had to recite that a lot at school because they want us to get, you know.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So the world is like a mirror.
The world is like a mirror.
Uh-huh.
And when you're saying that, you use your hands and you make a complete circle. That's
right.
The world.
Yes, and it's what like, is the next line?
The world is like a mirror.
Uh-huh.
Reflecting
what you do.
You do.
Uh-huh.
And if you face it smiling, it smiles right back at you. That means anything that you do, you know, if you do it right, it will come back the right way to you.
Amen. Yes, yes, yes. Similar, really, to what is worthwhile doing is worthwhile
right.
doing well.
Well.
In other words,
yes.
don't, you know, half do it. You're
yes.
either going to do it. If you're going to do it, do it well.
And
do
the
it.
One you yes. repeated before I came on, that was a good one too. I was saying it with you, although I wasn't online. The
oh,
one
yeah.
with the silver and gold.
But first you
that
don't
was a good
succeed. Try again. How
yeah,
about
and
this
the one,
part?
Yeah, and the one with the silver and gold. Silver
oh,
and
yeah.
gold will vanish away. But a good education will never decay. That's a
right,
very good one.
Right, I see we have a call, another caller, 770-941. If you'd like to interact with us, just raise your hands. I think I know that number, but I'm not sure. 77, okay. Oh, yes, we have a raised hand. So let me open up the mic here.
Yes, that's good.
and see who we have. Just... Hello, this is Margaret on Back at Labrish.
Hello, Margaret. This is Donna. How are you?
Well, Donna, my co-host, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I tell you, it's been wonderful and a challenge with three teenagers and a six-year-old, but they're all in school, thank God.
Oh, well, we miss you, and welcome back.
Thank you.
Well, you know, we're doing our memory gems. This week, and I don't know if you had memory gems here when you were we learned it really mostly in kindergarten and, you know, early childhood education. And as I mentioned, there were little nuggets of wisdom, and we have our special fan from Buffalo tonight who just shared a wonderful one with us. Did you hear it?
Oh, yeah, I thought that
world
was really
is like a mirror.
Great. Yeah, that was great. You know, I think that stuff like that, my goodness, those are great to capture and have. I mean, how many great types of, what do you call them, memory gems?
Memory gems, yes. Uh-huh.
Gems as opposed to just personal development quotes and things like that. You know, of course, you know, we have... you know, the basic quotes and things like that. But also, you know, one of the things that my family always tried to do was have what was called like faith or inspirational types of quotes. But they always use, you know, quotes from, you know, people, be it Martin Luther King or Mother Teresa or someone like that, that would give you, you know, you know, really great inspirational types of quotes. I know one that I remember one that said, it was like, be faithful and smile things because it is in them that your strength lies. And I there's some others that, you know, I didn't know that was what you were talking about tonight, but I always thought about that, and of course the basics, you know, that are biblical and things like that. But there were little inspirational or faith quotes that my dad would say, or that he felt were, you know, something that was like the foundation of who you were in terms of faith. And I always thought that those were pretty you know, they kind of kept you grounded in, you know, faith, consistent believing when it's beyond the power of reason to believe and things like that, you know, because, you know, you do have to, you know, you do have to, faith does count on your belief as opposed to something that's visual. And,
right, true, true.
And so even within your own life, you know, as you move through life, you have to have faith in whatever it is that you think that you're moving in a good direction. Just like you had faith in terms of, you know, this program, that there were people that would see it, see the vision of it even before, you know, it came to fruition, and that there was a need for it, and there, you know, that there would be doubt or there would be people that would not see it. But as you can tell, you know, with the people that call in, that, you know, just through that faith that, that is truly, you know, as long as you have that faith and you believe in it and you walk in that strength, then, you know, it will, you know, that is truly where strength lies, being faithful in those things that you believe in.
Right. Now the thing about this here is that we were actually forced to learn these things when we were younger. They were part of our curriculum.
Oh.
So little did we know then how important it was for us to memorize. That's why they were called memory gems. We had to memorize them and know them. And, you know, as I mentioned before, once you do that, they become part of your psyche. Because I know for me, if I'm going to do a task, I'm going to do it well. I will put it off until I can know I can do it well. And I knew that about my nature, but it was not until I started to think about the memory gems. And as I said, I went online and saw where a couple of Jamaicans who were authors or so would say refer to these memory gems as being the foundation for their, you know, their structure. And I said, oh, my gosh, it really has for me, too. Because when my little grandson was getting frustrated with his game thingy, you know, it just popped in my head to go tell him that. And I didn't even know I would remember it. You know, I didn't even sort of know at the time where it came from. But, you know, until I started to think about it. And then the more I start to think about them is the more they started coming to me. So I don't know if Janine, if you'll remember this one too. Speak the truth. This is for honesty.
Speak it ever.
Right.
Yes.
Cost it what it will. He who hides the wrong he does the wrong thing still. You remember that?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And with us, too, what they used to do, which sometimes I will do it with my grandkids, they would turn it into a song because if they made it interesting,
they should call the lessons in rap now to make the children learn it because they're all rapping.
Because, for instance, my six-year-old, I taught it to the others too, but there's a little six-year-old, Aaliyah, but you know, they're shy, they won't come on.
Uh-huh.
When I started to teach her the month of the year.
Yes, I remember that one.
I did it the Jamaican way. And
the month, year, or so. Yeah, I remember that.
And it went January, February, March, April, May, and June. That's one half of the chorus. Isn't it a lovely tune? July, August, September, October, November, December. Singing, ringing, let the people hear the ritty-titty-titty-titty chorus of the year. That's how we used to learn songs.
Wow. Yeah, so we were really ahead of our time in that country because I remember this one. Bits of paper lying on the ground, lying on the ground. You remember that one?
Yes. Make the place untidy.
Pick them up.
Yes.
Donna, that was taught to us to keep the place tidy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And as she said, we put it, they put it to song. Yes, yes, yes. But, Don,
yes.
I don't know if you heard the one that I mentioned before. Learn all you can before you grow old, for learning is better than
silver
or gold. Silver and gold will
vanish away,
but a good education will
never
decay.
Mm-hmm.
And
true.
For
and
honesty,
there's another one, never start anything you can't finish.
Right.
Remember that?
Right.
Never start anything you can't finish.
Right.
Yes.
I want to mention one that I never knew before, but it was given to me by someone I just met over this weekend. I'm hoping that she will call in. So this is from Perlene, and it is really about manners.
Mm-hmm.
As in the old days, you know, manners was a big thing.
See.
But listen
mm-hmm.
to this one, Donna. It's very rude to cough or sneeze and not to say, excuse me, please. You must not push when in a crowd. You must not talk out very loud. You must not lean against the rail. You must not bite your fingernails. For nurse will say it makes her wild to see a badly brought up child.
Mm-hmm.
And in our curriculum, in our, you know, language, we call it bad brought upsy or no brought upsy. Do you remember that word?
Yes.
So Donna, if someone was behaving badly, we'd say they have no brought upsy.
Now, tell me something. Was this pretty much like what you would classify as the elementary school years?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And we learned other things as we, you know, went off into high school. Now, the one for cleanliness would be bits of paper lying on the ground, you know, and that one they put the song. Now, the one that I remember all the time, and it might not be for Jamaicans alone, I don't know, Donna, you can tell me if that one applies here, is never put off for tomorrow. What you can do today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a universal one, I think.
Right. Well, listen to this one. Help the old if you are young. Help the weak if you are strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Okay.
You remember that one, Janine?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. And, of course, by the time we got to high school, you know, almost everyone was versed in Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's "The heights of great men reached and kept were not obtained by sudden flight, but they, while their companions slept, were toiling upward in the night."
Mm-hmm.
Now, almost every student in Jamaica knew that by heart, knew that. And that was to reinforce, you know, persistency and reaching your goal. Because what that is actually saying is that overnight success is never retainable. That's the whole message behind that. You know, when nothing, even a lot of the stories that you read about, even the people who win American Idol, you would consider that an overnight success. But if you read more, all of their stories, they were all doing their thing and refining their craft
long-term,
for a long period of time.
Yeah.
They didn't just get up one morning and decide to sing.
You know what? That is so true. You know, I mean, but you know what? You can kind of like look at that in a different, in two different ways. You know, I agree with you because I'm even, you know, Luther Vandross said that he was in his 30s before he was found, but he had been crafting, you know, his voice and in his mind, the shows and how they would look and everything beforehand. But you have people that have a talent, let's say football players that have a talent, and all of a sudden they're making $30 million overnight. But they haven't grown, you know, personally to that point, and they do some of the craziest things, and they lose it all, you know.
Here's the point. This verse says the heights by great men that's reached and kept. That's the key. Kept.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes
well, my
who reach heights, but it's not kept. And that is what it said. It was not attained by sudden flight.
Yeah.
But they, while their companions slept, were toiling upwards in the
right.
night.
That's right.
That is the whole lesson, is that the overnight success sometimes is not attainable because they weren't ready. They didn't do the work to get there.
My grandmother used to tell us this one, too. In other words, not to give up. She would say, the race is not for the swift.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The battle is not for the strong, but for those that live and endure.
Right.
You know, they used to say things to encourage you a lot, too, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And also, you know, it's like the quick fix or the quick win. You know, a lot of people live in that. I mean, particularly now with our microwave society, you know, you just throw it in the microwave, it's done. And so people want everything so fast. You
right.
know, they just go on the internet and they just find what they want and they're through with it. And they don't really look at the fact that, you know, if you work hard at something or you look hard for it, how much more pleasure would it bring for you, the accomplishment
mm-hmm.
of achieving it or finding it? You know, going to the library when the library card is free, you know, a lot of people are like, I don't want to go to the library if it's not on the internet. Well, everything's not on the internet, you know, books that you need to read, it may not be on the internet for free. You're still going to have to pay for them, you know, and it's nothing like going to a library and finding something new, a new adventure.
Right.
But that's the society that we live in, that people feel like they see these people, these stars or whatever, and they think, oh, I could be an overnight success. I'm rich overnight. I win the lotto. You know, everything has to be quick for me. And they don't understand
either
that.
Way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even if you do get it, it doesn't mean it's going to last because you really have no clue as to how you really, you know, how to manage whatever it is that you have that you got so quick.
Right. Here again is the reach that kept. You can reach it sometimes, get it, but can you keep it?
Yeah. It's not how much money you make, it's how much you can keep.
Right.
And they used to tell us, too, first impression is the best one, because once somebody gets that impression about you,
right,
you can't change what is in their mind after that.
First impression is always the best one.
That is it's like, you know, it'd be so nice if kids nowadays would, you know, hear these types of things. My husband and I we dropped off my truck and we stopped at Waffle, and this boy came in, and I declare, I was the disgusting thing I ever seen with his boxer shorts and his pants hanging below his boxer shorts.
Oh, Lord.
I would have been like, you know what, y'all should put a sign up. If you can't pull your daggone clothes up, those are called underwear, and
mm-hmm.
if you can't pull them up, there shouldn't be any service. You know, forget about shoes and shirt. I don't want to see your daggone underwear.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And they don't even understand the fact that, you know, they're going into a job and, you know, I mean, it's one thing to have a style. If you're an entertainer, you can do whatever you want. You can have it spiked up and you can have it any way you want. But if you're really going into a job, it is really not a good idea to have your hair twisted and sticking up on top of your head.
No, that's where it comes in. First impression is the best one.
Yeah.
You have to be so careful because that one stays in somebody's mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they form their opinion from the first time they're going to see you, you know, so.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
hear you speak or whatever, so.
I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Backyard Labrish. We're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock, and we're usually just labrishing. This is a very relaxed show, and we pick a subject, but sometimes we just go off, you know, on the deep end. And the time spent in the backyard, you know, in Jamaica, when we go to the backyard or the front porch, is usually just to relax and chill. And we get together as a group not to gossip, but to labrish. A labrish is to discuss things in a casual manner and give your opinion or talk about old times, and that's what we do in the backyard here. And this particular show is dedicated to celebrating and enlightening foreigners about what Jamaica, growing up in Jamaica, used to be before independence, because I am one, and a lot of the people who are guests or come on the show periodically and my loyal fans are perhaps before the independence, and we have a lot of memories of growing up in Jamaica when the educational system was quite different, and perhaps the whole country was quite different. And the whole objective is to leave a footprint so that other generations, even generations of Jamaicans or Jabrits or children of or offsprings of a Jamaican parent, might want to just find out what life was like in Jamaica when their parents were there or was brought up there. And for the foreigners that are curious about or interested in culture, like our co-host Donna, who has never even been to Jamaica, but she's quite interested in culture and, of course, curious about the Jamaican culture. And we just welcome her and all the other Americans and the Jamaicans and the Jabrits and the Canadians or whatever that would visit us and find out something from the living legends that lived the story. You know, it's one thing about reading a story that's written by somebody else about a period, but
yeah,
it takes on a whole new meaning when it's given by the people who lived it.
Right.
Yeah, well, you know, that's kind of like my grandmother used to say that, you know, it's one thing to think that you know it all, but you can never know all that your elders know.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And if you're smart, you'll sit down and listen.
Right.
And I used to always enjoy, and one of the things that is always kind of interesting for me when I'm on the show is that there's so many similarities really to my life in a lot of regards, because my family's really from a very small community in Georgia, and it really was the community that raised me, and we didn't do the backyard, because in the backyard were chickens and, you know, farm animals, but in the front porch, the adults would sit. The children would play in the yard, and the adults would sit, and they would talk about anything. You know, they might talk about child rearing. They might talk about, you know, how they can help, you know, one of the members of the community. And they would, you know, they just talk about various things. Of course, you know, being a curious child, I would sit and listen sometimes. Then they would shoo me away because I was listening to grown folks' conversations and all. But I really enjoyed it, you know, just them, you know, how much they cared about their community and how much they cared about the children, you know, in the community.
Yes. Well, thank you, Donna. As you say, you know, there are so many similarities, and I'm sure people from perhaps all over the world can think of the same. But I want to mention here the real importance. I know that now that most of my generation, all of my generation above me is gone, really, and I am the eldest in my lineage. And I really wished that I had asked my mother more questions. You know, I had found out more things from my aunts before they left the planet, because there's so many things I would have liked to know. I just want to mention to our listeners that, you know, I know my mother was born in 1912. And as I did the research when we were doing Discover Jamaica one parish at a time, when I got to Westmoreland, I was in total shock to find out that the year my mother was born, there was a terrible hurricane in that parish right in the city my mother was born, you know, in 1912. There was a terrible hurricane. And I said, oh, my goodness, you know, I don't know if my mother even knew about it, because, you know, she was a teenager when her mother died. But here I am discovering that, and I'm saying, oh, my, I can imagine how difficult it was, you know, if you had a hurricane in your city, even if you were an adult, plus a mother with a young baby. My mother was my grandmother's first child. And I'm saying, oh, my God. So but just by doing the research, I was able to discover that. And it really sort of, you know, opened up my eyes. You know, the people nowadays feel that it's sometimes raising a family or taking care of a baby or whatever it is they have to do is so difficult. But I'm sure it is a lot easier than it was in 1912 and long ago.
But you know what? But I'm going to say that. But even with my mother's generation, there's so much that they just did not want to talk to us about. There were things that there were limits to things because my mother always used to say, you know, I'm 49 now, but my mother would say to me, "But you're still my child." And so it didn't matter how old I was. What mattered was that I was her child, and there were certain things that she just didn't feel that she wanted to discuss or that she would burden me with, even though I would tell her all the time, it's not a burden. I just really want to know. And there were things that I think memories of that of certain times that, you know, were, you know, I remember my, there was a, I didn't know about it. My mom told me later because I never could see any birth, baby pictures of myself. And so I kept asking. No one would say anything. And finally, my mother says, okay, let me tell you this now. There was a fire and everything got lost. And so there it is. And then she didn't want to talk about it anymore. But whatever it was very emotional for her. Such that she was like, you know what, that was behind me. I really don't want to talk about it. I lost a lot. I could hear in what she was saying that it was a devastating time for her. She lost her photos. She lost a lot of her stuff. But she needed to move forward, and she didn't want to go backwards on it. And so I had to respect that and say, what, you know, okay, well, I'll let that go. But can I find out about something else, you know? And also, but you know, that generation really didn't talk about a lot of things, finances, certain things they just didn't talk to us about.
Oh, yes. In my country, we were told that children must be seen and not heard.
Oh, yeah, we had the same thing.
Yeah.
But I remember another one as I'm sitting here listening to both of you. You know, if my sibling and myself had an argument or a disagreement, they would tell us it's a foolish bird that shits in his own nest.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yes. Yes. And they would say, too, a fish dies by their own tongue. You know, things like that is
oh, yes.
to bring things
I never
to
heard
your attention.
Before because his tongue gets hooked in the bait.
In the hook. Yeah.
Yes.
And with a family member or even us, you know, talking about our country with other people, you know. It would relate to it as a foolish bird that shits in his own nest. In other words, you don't, you know, give against certain things and certain family member and different things, you know.
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, a lot of the things that are, you know, now considered okay were definitely tabooed in the old days.
Yeah. Think about these reality shows that they have on where your people are walking around showing their whole life and, you know.
And talking about their family, their mother.
You know, you don't air your dirty laundry. You know, everybody has something, but you just don't air your dirty laundry. You resolve it as a family.
Right. You keep it in the family. Certain things you just don't do.
Exactly. But, you know, I'm going to tell you, these reality shows have gotten to the point where, you know, I had to sit down with my kids and say, you know, first of all, we're not watching those. That is not good. I don't like them. And secondly, you do not walk out and pretend like you're in a reality show yourself and talk about everything that goes on in your household, you know. Even though I never heard anything about it, I just felt that I needed to have that conversation because I'm seeing all these things on TV, and you know, kids are so impressionable, and it's like, my goodness, there's nothing that's sacred anymore.
Yes, and they used to say, you know, mum is the word, parapinta is the game. You know, in other words, you keep your mouth shut sometimes, you know.
Well, I just want to encourage all the grandmothers or mothers out there that, you know, one way that you can neutralize something negative is by presenting something positive, because if you take away, you have to give.
Right.
You know, you have to give, replace something. And I believe that finding little nuggets of wisdom that is you can repeat over and over and over, and until it takes hold, especially in the young children's mind, because like you, Janine, I discovered that just saying it a couple times to my almost four-year-old, you know,
mm-hmm.
if at first you don't succeed, try again.
Right.
He was, not only did he get it, he was repeating it to somebody else.
Exactly.
And then the little...
after a while.
Yeah, the one that is will soon be four, he was also repeating it because it was easy to learn.
Yes.
So, you know, if all the grandmothers and mothers would just find something or a few that they can keep saying to the young ones over and over, just keep
mm-hmm.
saying it over and over, you'd be surprised to know how it might seep into the consciousness and make a difference
yes.
in their
even,
life.
Yes, even when I with the grandkids, the smaller ones, you know, even when I'm teaching them their home address, where they live, their telephone number, I do it to them in a song. You know, it's like we sing it.
Very
and
good.
And for some
yeah.
reason, you keep singing it and singing it. It's like all of a sudden, they just get, you know, to remember it so good, you know.
Because, you know, that's how, and I want to mention, I'm sure everybody knows, you know, habits are formed by repetition.
Mm-hmm.
And just like how, you know, the children that get frustrated all the time if they cannot do something, you know, it will become a habit if they
right.
keep doing it, if they keep getting frustrated because they cannot do something or they feel they're not getting it done. It becomes a habit with them. And
yeah.
and a lot of times they'll just quit trying. You know,
right.
they will if
yeah.
they become frustrated. So in the first place, I don't know why they would have things that cause them to become frustrated so young, but, you know, it's a different period that we live in now. So I want to encourage the adults in these young children's life to you know, we can't prevent certain things, but at least we can pay attention to what's happening and to make a conscious effort to try to do something to turn it into a positive situation or to neutralize what we detect could be a negative.
Right.
And I want to also remind our listeners, you know, this show is, we try on this show to celebrate the great. I'm not saying that perhaps bad things were not happening during the time we were growing up. I can't remember many, but...
No.
But
honestly,
yes, I can't. But this show is just about celebrating all the good things and how meaningful it was to me to be brought up, as we say, in Jamaica under the colonial system. I am very grateful, and I want to celebrate it. I want to celebrate the good things about it.
And speaking about celebration... I'm here celebrating my birthday with you today.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank
yes.
you.
Happy birthday to you. How old
you.
Are you? Okay.
Today, no, it's a blessing. I don't mind saying it because to me it's a blessing. Today I'm 64.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Oh,
and the senior have 10 years on you.
You know
I'll
catch up one of these days.
I celebrated my 74th in March, actually. March was my birthday, but the celebration was in May.
I remember Tina Turner.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, it is on YouTube. I haven't sent it to anybody, but the person, the photographer guy put it on YouTube.
goodness. Hey, you need to put that on the back.
I heard all about the Tina Turner.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, somebody said to me, they were like, Donna, why do you always talk about your age? I says, you know, when you think about it, you should, a person should be thankful. You think about all the
blessing.
You know, this year alone that have passed away that were younger than me or around my age or, you know, and I know, you know, younger than you or whatever. And you say to yourself, well, I just thank God that I that he's given me another year. Why wouldn't I want to tell everybody, I got another year?
Yes, it's a blessing. It's nothing that I think, you know, anyone should hide. Because when you are blessed with one more year, you know.
Yes. Well, you know, I just want to say that, you know, it's kind of interesting that when I asked you all, you know, were these gems something that you acquired primarily in your primary elementary, you know, education, it really goes to the point, you know, I was talking to a teacher and she was saying the same thing, that those are your fundamental years of, you know, it's like a foundation that you build, and the more things that you can build during those early years, they will carry with you. It's just like the biblical saying, you know, if you as long as you have a child in the church and you bring them up in the church, and they'll never depart from it. And
right.
and so it's the same principle with education. The earlier you can teach a child a foreign language, the earlier you can teach them their vocabulary, their sight words, and everything, the better they will be, and the more they will learn as they progress along the way. They won't, you know, it's kind of like we do the, you know, national anthem and all the, you know, songs that you sing with regards to, you know, America the Beautiful, all those things that they do, and the fundamental years that you don't forget as you grow older.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense. Really, it does. And what you're doing is you're setting a moral standard for that child with those gems. That won't leave them. It'll, you know, it's almost like, you know, how you talk about, you know, the devil and the angel on each side. When they're doing something, they might say, oh, my gosh. And all of a sudden this gem goes in their mind, you know, okay, I'm trying to be lazy right now. I need to get up and do the give it 100%, do the best that I can. And it might flow through their mind and help them through that particular moment, you know.
Yes, yes.
Well, we just lost a listener, but I want to ask them to please call back. I don't know if I did something wrong, from 516. If you're listening online, if you can call us, our call-in number is 718-766-4558. So please call us back. And tonight, you're listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio, and we're talking about memory gems that we learned when we were growing up, as Donna says, in the early years, in the formative years, we were actually forced to learn these gems, and there was actually a memory gem for almost everything, honesty, kindness, love, love of education, just various qualities that are really important to foster individual success and good citizenship. That was what they were all about.
Would you tell me the story again of your grandson?
Well, actually, Donna, my grandson, who's here with me, was getting very frustrated about his getting to the next level on his game, whatever the game was. And I heard him, you know, just being annoyed. So I went in and said, if at first you don't succeed, try again.
Yeah.
It just popped into my head.
Yeah.
And every time I heard him, I would go in and say it. Then he started saying it with me.
Oh.
He started saying it with me. You know, if at first you don't succeed, try again. It's just one sentence.
Right.
I was beaming with pride because he remembered it. Then I noticed that I didn't hear him getting as frustrated again. So at this particular time, my other two grandsons came over to sleep over, and the older one was trying to get to the next level, I suppose, and he was getting frustrated. And this one said to him, if at first you don't succeed, try again. And then the little one beside him started to say it. And every time the older one would say it, the second one would say it to him. And I heard them in there, and I was just beaming. But yesterday I went to the house with, you know, the other two, and their caregiver was telling me that the little one, who is Griffin, was saying it at school. If at first you don't succeed, try again. And she said to him, where did you learn that? He was saying it in the car on the way to school. And he said, my nana taught it to me. But he was using it appropriately because his brother must have been trying to do something on his game thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, was getting a little mad. So, man, I felt so good. So my point is, you know, whatever it is, in whatever way you can encourage your children by some little nugget of wisdom and keep doing it all the time, you know, it will get riveted. So I wanted to share some of those that we researched and found, right, Janine? And I want to say them over if for the listeners who might tune in later on. The first one was, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Then for personal achievement, we would say what is worthwhile doing is worthwhile doing well. Mm-hmm. And for education, we say learn all you can before you grow old, for learning is better than silver or gold. Silver and gold will vanish away, but a good education will never decay. For honesty, we say speak the truth and speak it ever. Cost it what it will. In other words, you have to be responsible for the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And he who hides the wrong he did does the wrong thing still. So if you lie about it, it does not excuse it because within your soul you know you did it.
Mm-hmm.
So it made you feel responsible. You don't want to lie because you know you're hurting yourself.
Right.
Donna, have you ever heard any of these?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Particularly the first couple.
Yeah. For manners, we had a little rhyme that said, it's very rude to cough or sneeze and not to say, excuse me, please. You must not push when in a crowd. You must not talk out very loud. You must not lean against the rail. You must not bite your fingernail. For nurse will say it makes her wild to see a badly brought up child. Now, some of the children are so misbehaved, you know, in the supermarket, just everywhere.
Yeah.
For cleanliness, for keeping a place tidy, we learned a little gem called bits of paper lying on the ground, makes the place untidy. Pick them up. Yeah, and we did that into a little song. And we had never put off for tomorrow, what can be done today. And for kindness and citizenship, we had help the old if you are young, help the weak if you are strong. And someone sent me one too. This one was, I read this one on a blog, for peace. Little fingers were made to pinch, were not made to pinch and tear, but to move in deeds of kindness and fold in thoughts of prayer. I never heard that one before.
No.
And on reading, books are the key to wisdom and knowledge. So the teacher would actually ask you, what are books for? And the answer would be for wisdom and knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's what they're for, you know. They're, and, of course, in those days we didn't have as many novels, and as I call them, penny dreadfuls. That is the novels that is usually about, you know, sex or love or whatever. I see we have Paula 3-1. If you'd like to interact with the Labrish and you have a nugget you want to share with us, please hit 1 on your keypad and we'll plug you in. Area code 631. And for your listeners online, if you want to talk to us, call us on the phone. The number is 718-766-4558.
Well, you know what? What's interesting, I typed in memory jam,
And when I did that, it says if you want to, it said free memory gem blocks, so you can download them, and they're educational, you know, for memorization. And so I clicked on it just to see what it said, and it was like, if you really want this information, click on here and buy it for $15.
Right, of course. Well, we're going to have this on our website, hopefully very soon. But you know, in the old days, in the colonial days in Jamaica, there were certain things that, you know, was more or less mandatory that was done in schools. You know, we had prayers, we sang songs. I remember, I don't know, Janine, if when I went to East Queen Street Baptist, which was Calabar, most of the the public schools then were Christian-based. You know, they were supported by some Christian organization.
Right.
And I remember we had, you know, devotion in the mornings. You know, we had prayers, sang songs.
Yes.
And we had singing. Singing was part of the curriculum. And I remember in those days the singing teacher used to have that fork, and she would hit it on the thing and get the me, 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 me. And you'd have the different sections, the alto, the tenor, the soprano. You remember? Did you have those?
Yeah. Yes,
oh man,
yes.
It's so much fun! And then we would sing in what is was that when one starts and then the other one starts and the other one starts? What was that called again?
Oh yes, I know what you're talking. It's like you do it in different
like
sections.
Rounds, you know. And when part of that was finished, the other one starts and the other. Oh man, well, just wonderful
one
days.
Start
of,
first, and when you. Halfway, or not really halfway, another
start.
Section starts.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I can't remember now what you call that, but I know what you're talking about. They used to do it mostly with row, row, row your boat gentle down the street.
Oh, we used to do it with other things. A gentle breeze is softly blow, da 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 da. Da, 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 da. I can't remember the words, but the tune, it pops in my head. And then another section would start. But those were just wonderful times. But these memory gems were something.
But you know, that was to test your concentration, too.
Right.
Because you had to keep your part
uh-huh.
together because, you know, you could get confused with the person
uh-huh.
that starts before you. So you had to concentrate that you had to keep your part of the song, you know.
Right. But
so
it's interesting to me that as early as, you know, in the 40s, 30s and 40s, that the educational system then knew the importance of visual aids because we would have some of these memory gems posted in the classroom, you know, all over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that you would see them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they would become a part of your psyche. You know, you would remember them. I see 561 would like to interact with us, so I'm going to open. Thanks for calling back. I know I lost you before. You're on the air. This is Margaret in the backyard. Who am I speaking with?
Oh, my name is Barbara Hastings Griffin. I'm from Palm Beach, Florida.
Hi, Barbara. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. You know, I'm a first-time caller.
Yes, I know. Did you call before and then hung up? Or got cut off?
Because I'm using my cell, and I had another call in the regular
phone. I got you. Okay, because I thought I lost you. So welcome to the backyard. We're here talking about our memory gems. Were you listening?
No, I just came back.
You just got on. Yes, yes, yes. We had quite a few nuggets of wisdom that we were digging out to the memory bank. And, you know, the bank has been sort of inactive for a little while.
Uh-huh.
But we went over quite a few. Do you remember any?
Not really. I just want to, since I'm the first-time caller,
uh-huh.
I'll get my act together next Wednesday. I just want you to know that I support this wonderful idea.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
To you.
And
the young generation from Jamaican parents will listen and learn some of their heritage. It
right,
is very interesting.
Right. Well, I just want to tell you, Barbara, and the rest of our listeners that might Google us later on, is that this idea came about because actually I left Jamaica from 1959 before independence.
Right.
And went back for a very short period when my daughter was born in 1970, but, you know, moved back to the United States in less than 3 years. So my children were not really raised there. All of my children
right.
were here and grew up here. And now I have grandsons. And I took a trip to Europe and went to Madrid. I was so impressed with Madrid. Not only did they retain a lot of their artifacts, their art,
oh, yeah, it's a
you
wonderful
know,
place
things like
that
here, but a lot of their customs, because
oh, yeah,
I stayed in a bed and breakfast for a couple of days,
mm-hmm.
and this was a senior couple that my girlfriend and I stayed with, and
yeah.
I can't believe that their children and their grandchildren, they were doing some of the things that they did when they were
sure.
young, you know, like going to mass every morning and just things
yeah.
like that. And then I came back to the States, and these people were online a lot. They told me about Skype and, you know, Facebook and all of that, and they were sort of in my age group. I was a little embarrassed, and these are people in Europe, and we think in America we're so ahead of the game. And
right.
to me, these will be considered older people. So I came back and I got online and started to Google and see
mm-hmm.
if I could find anything about the culture as I knew it. And there was
right.
really, there was a lot of information about the current Jamaica, you know, what's going on now and
mm-hmm.
the independence and a lot of good stuff and, you know, all sorts of stuff. But there was not much information at all about my period, and I said,
right, the original that should still be existing. As
right,
far as
that if my grandchildren or when my
grandsons, et cetera.
Right, when my grandsons go online, I know they will to research something about their grandmother's culture. They won't really find any true stories about what life was like when I grew up, because even some Jamaicans that I have met since I'm here who went to school since the independence, there are certain things that I asked them about, even some of the things that was very common to us when we were growing up, even fruits that are very scarce. No, you know, I asked my girlfriend's son if they know what macafat was. Any of the listeners know what macafat was? Is
yes, yes.
They said no, never heard of it. That, and Donna, for you who are not Jamaican, that was a little fruit that
yeah.
we were familiar with. But it's perhaps extinct now. I don't know if they still have it. But I know the older Jamaicans will remember it. Barbara, do you remember
yes.
it? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Macafat.
Beg your pardon?
Macafat.
Macafat
is like a gold color outside.
Yes, in a shell line.
Yes, and round.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, no, you've got me there.
Baba, you don't remember that?
No, and I never heard it in Trelawney. Maybe when I went to Kingston.
Right, well, I'm a Trelawneyan.
Oh, my family in Trelawney, they had
name.
A big macafat tree. Yes, I know they have the tree in Trelawney because I went
up
there one summer and there was a big one. Yes,
is
also spring.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and also
garden.
Spring.
Yeah,
yeah, also spring.
I must write that down. Oh, I should know it. Maybe we call it something else.
Quite likely, you know. I must tell our listeners that the people believe that because Jamaica is so small, that, you know, people at one side of the island know what's going on. Perhaps they do now because communication is a lot different. Even travel is a lot different than it was in my time. But in the old days when I grew up, you know,
yeah.
people in one side of the island were doing things different from people in another side of the island. So, you know, there's a lot that we don't even know about what was going on, you know, how they made certain things, what they called certain things. And
they were different in different countries, different parts of the country.
Parts of the island, yes.
Different names.
Yes.
Island, actually.
I found out a lot.
That was a standard name, though.
Right.
That was a standard name.
Beg your pardon?
I'm sorry, but that
was a standard name, Macafat, you know, because they used to bring it into the market, too.
Yes, I remember that.
I never went to the market when I was young, so I don't really know.
Yes, well, I remember asking my girlfriend's sons if they ever heard of that. And this is long ago when I used to go back and forth to Jamaica when I lived in Florida. And they told me, no, they never heard of it. And I said, oh, my gosh, I must be getting real old. So my point
is, they don't have it anymore.
Yeah, quite likely. But my point is, what we're trying to do here on the show and on our website, which is www.backyardlabbers.com, is to have some living memories, you know, left so that the next generation can get a little taste of what life was like when we were growing up, Barbara and Janine.
Mm-hmm.
So I am just so appreciative of your support and hope that you will spread the word and
Definitely. Have
other people going by to listen to us and or
right.
to check out the website and find out what we're doing. But the whole concept, Barbara, is to leave some history from the people who lived it.
Right, right.
And
well,
so we welcome you. Go on.
Sorry, next time I talk with you, I hope to have more history.
Ah, okay. Well, I'm not sure what we're doing next week because, you know, sometimes I fly by the seat of my pants. I'm really thinking I got so much response from people with the proverbs. Now, I want to mention the difference between a memory gem and a proverb is that the memory gems were always of a moral or Christian concept, you know, some character-building nugget of wisdom. Now, a proverb sometimes could be some wisdom, but a lot of times they were conversational. They could be, some of them could even be considered negative or cut down, because I remember reading in one of the guests we had that wrote a book and mentioned, you know, several times her mother would say some things to her, and I'm going to leave it for that show. And it would be considered sort of a, you know, don't be so happy, you know, right now, because you never know what's going to happen.
What tomorrow brings.
Right. Mm-hmm. The difference between a proverb and a memory gem is that the memory gems were always positive and character building, or making you conscious and aware of what you need to do to behave right or to think right. And Janine, if you would repeat the one that I tell you I heard for the first time about the mirror, would you say that once for me again?
Sure. The world is like a mirror reflecting what you do. And if you face it smiling, it smiles right back at you.
Very good. Excellent.
Yes, the positive.
Yeah.
Well, not a thought there. But Ms. Margaret, I've got to run. You're
all right. Well, thank you for being with us.
Keep up the good work, and we'll talk again.
All righty. Thanks a lot, and spread the word for us.
Definitely. Have a good night.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Night. Good
night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Donna, are you there?
Yeah, that was really nice. I really enjoyed that, and I just say that, you know, again, one of the beauties of this whole show is that we're on the internet. You know, I mean, everybody that's talking is leaving a footprint in life that won't go away. You know, everything that's going on that for the future will be internet-based. You know, unfortunately, bad people get on the internet and do bad things, but we're doing great things on the internet. When you get on the internet and you share information and enlighten people, I mean, what a great
what a great legacy, you know, everyone that gets on here leaves for someone else. And, you know, you can you can sit back and you can say, well, you know, I don't have much, I don't do much or whatever, whatever. But in reality, just being on here and giving a piece of yourself each week, you leave a legacy for someone else that maybe they don't even know anything about, even like myself. Some of the things that you all have said, I didn't know anything about them, but some of them I was able to relate to, and many of them I'm saying, wow, what a great thing to, you know, share with my kids, because I still have a six-year-old, you know, that maybe I can instill some great things in her now that I really didn't even think about, because I really didn't think about it. A lot of things you take for granted, you know, that have been passed on to you. And so, I mean, this is just really great. And I just thank all the participants for, you know, just giving of themselves. And I just wanted to share that.
Well, thank you so much, Donna. And the good thing about that, also, I want to mention that in the days that we were growing up and going to school, you know, most all the older Jamaicans, they might not remember it right away, but they were exposed to that kind of drilling, what I was saying. You know, the schools were always involved in that kind of information. And it was just wonderful. It was just great. I don't know if they have any of that as part of the curriculum now, because, you know, now that they're self-governed, I think that all of the Caribbean perhaps came up with their own curriculum. I think the curriculum might have changed, because in the old days, we were aligned with the English system, and a special system was not made for us. When we went to take the exams, we had to do it just like the kids in London. In all over England did, and we were graded the same way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you think about all the things we discovered as we went all over the different parishes, we knew that things were a lot different, even though similar to the United States in certain ways as far as slaves going to Jamaica and all of that. But there were a lot of things that were different, because when we did our internal market system, we realized that the system that exists today was originated from the days of slavery, because the slaves there had their own, a lot of them had their own plots of land that they raised their food on. And they were encouraged to trade what they didn't use in the marketplace. And that's how the internal market system really originated.
Right.
So I didn't know that before I started the research. You know, I just know that we had markets all over. I didn't know why some of them were called grass yards. You know, there was one called, but it just sort of, everything fell into place. And for the listeners who might not be familiar with that show, you can look through the archives and listen to any of the shows online whenever you feel like. And we also want to ask you, whenever you do plug into our shows, if you would mark a show a favorite, if you feel you like that show. And we're always open to suggestions. So if there's something you think we should be lavishing about, just send us a note, give us a call, get on our mailing list if you're not. And for those of you who are on our mailing list, I encourage you to send the list to some of your friends or to ask them permission to give us us their email address so we can include them on our mail out, because we really want to spread the word. Because so many people are saying to me, you know, even off the air, how much they think it's a great idea and they appreciate it. I know a lot of our listeners don't like to tune in and say something, but I encourage you to even come in and say hi. You know, we enjoy the show, or we don't think it's good, or we'd like something else. So, you know, this is what our lavish is about. We're open to suggestions, and we want to welcome you. I see we have a caller from 631, and we thank you for being here. We just have a couple of minutes left, and we just want to tell you that we, all our listeners, that we are celebrating the Jamaican culture, And there's so much, I find that there is so much to lavish about. Sometimes I just don't know what to pick. But this past week, I ran into that same young lady that I told you gave me the one about manners. She had a fascinating story about her father. And I am really just so impressed with it. So I think who just passed away, incidentally, and it's the second story that I heard like that, and I'd like to perhaps feature not a living legend because he's not here anymore, but, you know, I've done a lot about the people who did great things in the old days, you know, 18-something, 17-something, and there are so many of them, and there are many, many Jamaicans or people of Jamaican heritage all over the world that are doing great things. Right now, as we speak, I think our athletes are doing some great things.
Oh, yes.
So we want to include everybody and just be celebrating as much as we can because, you know, there's also a lot of bad stuff going on all over the world, including our country. But this show is not for celebrating that or even talking about it. We want to just celebrate the past and things that are happening in the present.
Oh, well, I got to say that I was very proud of St. Bolton. Is it Bolt?
Bolt, yes.
It's amazing how did he get that name? And he's like a lightning flash.
Well, it's interesting to know that so many times when you think of a person's name and what they do or what their passion is, how it makes sense. It makes sense. You know, so many times that really happens.
I know I'm deviating, but I definitely saw the race where he, you know, ran against Tyson, and I'm telling you what, that was unbelievable that he looked like he was just on lunch break.
Mm-hmm.
He's like
that's Bolt, lightning bolt.
Well, according to his father, that's from eating all that yam.
Right. It's the root food. It's ground
so I guess that. Something is in the yam.
I'm eating
it myself.
Look, he didn't even, his face didn't grimace. He wasn't breathing heavy. You know, people were bent over trying to keep up with him. And I said, this is unbelievable. This guy, I think he's just playing with them. He's just going to set one record at a time. Just like, wait, now he's the fastest man in the world. He's going to break his fastest. You know, they were straining just keeping up with him. When he got through, he walked over, he did a bolt, and oh, my gosh, I said, that is unbelievable. This guy knows and he was looking around. He's
right?
Looking around. Normally when you look around, you slow up. I was like,
where are you?
Beat everybody. That is crazy.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, my God. Because I'm like, you know what, I don't care. You know, they're trying to keep whatever you guys are eating over there in Jamaica from us. It's a plot to keep
the yam.
It's the yam.
Oh, provision.
I think, it's too, it's a type of training. If he's from the country, I'm sure he's running up hills and, you know, so he has a lot of strength in his legs, you know.
And the determination, too.
Right,
you know,
I was going to say that. When they are devoted to something, they really go all the way out, you know?
Right.
That's what you say, try and try again.
At first you don't succeed. Try again.
Try again. Yeah.
Well, if our listeners take nothing away from the show, I hope that they'll all be teaching their children or any young person that they interact with. If they see them getting frustrated about anything, remember this little verse. If at first you don't succeed, try again.
Yeah.
And just keep saying it to them, and pretty soon you'll hear them saying it to themselves. So I want to thank all our listeners, and I want to thank our participants. And Donna, I want to again welcome you back. And do you remember the little verse you're going to teach your daughter?
Definitely. If at first you don't succeed, try again. I like that one.
It's three tries. Try again.
try again.
Three times.
I definitely like that one. But I also want to say that Martin Luther King he says faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase.
Mm. Oh, say that again.
Amen. Amen.
Martin Luther King used to say that faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase.
Oh, yes. Amen. Well,
amen.
I think next week we're going to do some Proverbs in Patois.
Oh,
and then translate them in understandable English so that all our listeners can understand them. Because some of them are so meaningful. Some of them are just conversational, but some of them are quite meaningful. You know, so we'll do that next week. So, Janine, I'm hoping that you'll remember some. I know you remember a lot.
Can you say the silver and gold once again?
Beg your pardon?
The silver and gold. Learn all you can, and I...
Learn all you can before you grow old, for learning is better than silver and gold. Silver and gold will vanish away, but a good education will
never decay.
Because once, and I want, everybody knows that, you know, you cannot unlearn something, whether it's bad or good. You cannot unlearn it.
Right.
It is so difficult to undo, you know, some knowledge, whether it's a bad thing or a good thing. So
undo
it's always better to try and learn more of the good things.
Mm-hmm.
And education is priceless because someone, you can lose your house, you can lose your clothes, you can even lose your health. But if you have your knowledge, you can always get more clothes, get more wealth. So it is important, it's very, very important to learn all you can before you grow old. And even the people that are old can still learn. You're always learning. Life is a period of learning. It's for learning. So no matter how old you are, you should still be learning. I know I'm saying, oh, my God, so much to learn and so little time. I'll never make it.
They had one about life too. Life is what you make it, so make it good and true. I don't remember the other part. I'll think about it and next week I'll tell you. But they had a saying about life too. Life is what you make it, so make it good and true.
I'm not familiar with that one. Nothing is coming through the pipes here.
Yeah, that one. I'm getting a senior moment right now.
You know what? It's just like my grandma said. You can never know everything.
See,
it doesn't matter how old you are, because as long as you strive for the knowledge, it's okay. But you can never ever know everything. It's just okay. But you know, like you said, listen to your elders and gain the knowledge from them, but even they don't know everything, you know, because you can't experience everything or read everything all the time. There's so much information and knowledge out there. But as long as you're striving forward and moving your children, your family in that direction, then you're doing all right, you know, because nobody's perfect. Nobody can learn, you know, everything. And that's the beauty of life, you know, is that. And I'm going to tell you something, it was really, really interesting. They had this special on HBO that talked about Alzheimer's. And one of the things they talked about is just staying active and continue to learn and keep your mind active. Do crossword puzzles and research and, you know, learn a foreign language. Do anything you can to do what they call make your dendrites grow. Give yourself a headache learning something because it'll keep those dendrites growing. And that is what keeps people from moving into Alzheimer's.
And I'm telling you, you know, that the more you expand your mind, is the more the better you feel about yourself. So it's important. I think it's very important, especially for parents, to realize that they want their kids to be learning the right things, not ways of tricking people like a lot of even the kids show are all about now. Not ways of badgering people, being sarcastic, you know, being uncaring. It's really painful for me as an adult to even watch some of these shows that are supposedly for children, because you know, the characters are always fighting and calling each other's names and, you know, being sarcastic and calling this one a dummy and that one stupid and you know, a dodo head or whatever.
And trying to con them out of something.
Yes, and tricking them out of things instead of teaching the kids, you know, how to interact with each other and help each other. Like our nugget that says, you know, help the old if you are young and help the weak if you are strong.
Yeah.
That we're out of time, so I want to, again, welcome our listeners. I welcome my listener from 631 and hope you'll come back again next week. So next week we're going to do proverbs like, you know, 1-1 Coke or full basket.
Oh,
that is.
Oh, Lord. You're giving me a lot to think about now.
All right. Okay, you all. Good night, and thanks
Good
for
night.
Tuning in. See you next
Good
week.
Good night. Night, darling.
Bye.
Good night.
God
bless. Bye.
Thank you.